And welcome to the Coach Mark Schmidt Show. Another year, the 24-25 season already underway. Gary Neese with you, along with the coach. And for the next half hour or so, we're going to talk Bonner basketball. We'll talk about the start of the season, maybe a little bit about what happened before the season, and we'll look ahead to what's going to happen here a little bit later on.
It's amazing that the show has begun again.
Yeah.
It just feels like it just ended.
Yeah, we just ended back in March someplace.
It's amazing how time flies.
And already two games into the season.
I know. It's shocking.
All right, well, let's talk about the preseason a little bit. Obviously, coming off a season where you got to the semifinals of the Atlantic 10 tournament, a nice run, maybe a little bit unexpected, but a nice run. But then you follow the next day, and you're already out recruiting because here go the players. And again, it's the portal, and it's NLI.
Welcome to the 2024 basketball and football landscape. It's just how it is. And it's like, you can't worry about it. You can't bitch and cry about it. It is what it is. And you have to adjust. You have to accept it. And some people hate it. Some alumni hate it, but it is what it is. And we had, you know, like, well, Bonaventure was always afraid of breaking the rules.
Right.
Right. Well, these are the rules. We have to follow them. And we're following them. It's just how it is. And you know, we had a good year last year, won 20 games. As you alluded to, we went to the semifinals, lost to Duquesne, who ultimately won it. But yeah, the next day, you have an idea who's going to leave. And, you know, as the season goes along, and, you know, it's like, it's coaching is a small fraternity, and you just, you know, you hear whispers, this guy, that guy. And you know, so you have your exit meetings right after we lost, and, you know, you find out who was leaving. And then we just meet with the staff and say, all right, let's go out and find more guys. And, you know, so I use an analogy. It's almost like European soccer, where you rent guys for 7 months, you work with them, and then they come in and, you know, either they leave because they're not happy or they leave because they got more money. And the hope is that we can keep guys because of the success that they have, some loyalty, and a little bit of money.
All right. During the offseason, Bonna Unfurl organizes.
Yes.
Actually, before last season, they were organizing. And this is a group that concentrates on the NLI money.
Yes.
To pay the players and also to do some other things. And I think we have a very good group of guys in this Bonna Unfurl, because not only are they recruiting for basketball, they're actually working with these kids. If, you know, because all of a sudden you're handing an 18-year-old a pretty good amount of money, and he, for the first time, he's seen anything like that. The guys at Bonna Unfurl are there. They're financial experts, and they're trying to help those players with what to do with the money.
Yeah, we're not doing it where, you know, there's some schools that just, you know, pay to play. And, you know, we're doing it the right way. You know, the kids are going out and going to the warming house and doing some stuff to earn that money. Plus, as you alluded to, like, we have guys that are helping them, you know, with taxes and you know, and making sure they're aware of what's going to happen down the road. You know, so we're educating them, and that's good. And, you know, I'm an advocate for paying the players. I'm not sure they should be, you know, our guys aren't getting $1 million.
No.
But there's some players out there that are getting, you know, over $1 million.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's how it is. But I think we're doing it the right way, and you know, the kids have some money in their pockets, but they're earning it. They're using the name, image, and likeness in the way it was meant to be.
All right. Now, as far as the university goes, the NCAA recently came out with, I guess, the agreement with the former players, waiting for all of that to sort out legally to find out what is going to happen now. Are they actually going to have a set of rules and get rid of the wild, wild west thing that's going on?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And the settlement hasn't gone through. We don't exactly know how much we're going to have to pay and, you know, each league and so forth. So that's still an ongoing thing. But the horse is out of the barn. It's not, you know, the pay in the players is going to be there. And I'm an advocate for it. It's like, you know, the schools, and not all the schools, but like the Power Five schools, they're making hundreds of millions of dollars, and the coaches are making millions of dollars, and these kids weren't getting anything, you know, so they need to get something. Like I said, it's a little bit out of control. It needs to be some parameters on it, but I'm not sure when those parameters are going to be set. In my opinion, the sooner the better. But it is the way it is now, and we've got to do our part to be able to stay in the game until things change. And then when things change, then we can adjust and, you know, go about our business. So, but I think we're doing it the right way. You know, the guys that are running the collective are very, you know, they're doing it on their own. They're not paid. It's volunteer. But now we got Woj. And Woj is the general manager, and he's the one that's really helping going out and trying to raise money, because we're not going to do it with just the alumni. There's almost like donor fatigue, and we need other avenues of revenue, new streams. And that's one of Woj's jobs, is to go out there and find new money. And we know, you know, he'll do a terrific job. He's done a terrific job so far.
Yeah, and that was my next thing, is getting someone to kind of organize this and to have things run through him.
Yeah, he's the general manager. He's the one that's running the collective, and he works with you know, John and the two Bryans to really, you know, organize. But Woj is the one that's going out and raising the money and trying to find new ways to generate income, you know. You know, he's a fundraiser for the collective.
All right, and what that does as well is it lets you coach, and you've got and that's good for you, because you've got 8-9 new players every year, so you're trying to get everybody.
Yeah, it's like no coach can be the head coach and general manager and figure all this out. How much is this guy gonna get paid? Going out and fundraising, like we've got a really good guy, and I said in the press conference when Woj was hired, it's. If he had put his name in the portal, right, he'd have Kansas, Duke, and Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
So we're I'm grateful. We're really lucky to have somebody of his caliber with his reputation, the contacts that he has, and his work ethic. He loves the university. Mm-hmm. You know, he gave away millions of dollars to help us, help the men's basketball program, and I couldn't be, you know, I'm just looking forward to working with him. And the other thing that's interesting, you know, people ask, oh, you know, Woj has been working with us for years.
Oh, sure.
You know, helping us, you know, with guys.
Well, he's an alum. He's got, I got this guy.
And he has all these contacts, all his relationships that he has over the last, you know, whatever, 20 years. We could not develop them in the next 40 years, you know, so in the way the portal is now, the relationships are everything. Relationships with agents, with general managers, with the NBA, with European guys. It's so, so important. And Woj is at the top of the of the game, or his game, when it comes to that stuff.
All right. You get, and of course, your coaches, as you said, the day after you came back from New York, they're out recruiting. But they're recruiting year-round, looking for freshmen, but they're also looking for the
rumors. Yeah, it's no longer. Yeah, it's funny how the whole portal thing has changed the recruiting. It's like you never win with young guys. You're going to win with older guys. And you may get a couple freshmen, but if you look throughout the country, other than like, you know, the top 25 teams who are getting the top 100 players and they're getting one and done guys. But for the most part, if you look at teams, they get juniors and seniors who are portal guys that are more mature, more physical. Like a freshman, this is my opinion and a lot of opinions. Guys' opinions, you don't win the Atlantic 10 with freshmen. Freshmen can help you win a few games, but if a freshman averages 5, 6, 7 points, then he's going to put his name in the portal because he's going to get paid more money. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to help you. So our job is to try to go out and get a couple freshmen that, you know, we may redshirt or you know, bring along slowly. But we need veteran guys. And that's what we did. We brought in veteran guys that have had success at other programs. You know, and you know, when you define success, you know, 10 points, like, you know, Chance Moore, 10 points at Missouri State. It's not like he was averaging 25, or we're getting guys that average 10 points at North Carolina. We're just trying to find guys that want to play in the Atlantic 10, we feel have an upside. And kids that are going to fit what we're trying to do. We're not going to we're not going to look at guys and say, hey, man, he scored 20 points, but he's a bad kid. We're not. We're going to recruit kids that fit what we're trying to do. Kids are going to graduate. Kids are going to represent myself and our program the right way, socially, out in the public. And kids are going to play really hard, and we feel have a tremendous upside and a chance to be a pro. Because in order for us to win, and the reason why we've won, you know, in the last, whatever, 10, 15 years, is because we've had pros. Like, we've had, you know, whatever, 30 guys have gone on to play professional basketball. We've had like 10 or 11 first-team All-League players. And I get a lot of credit, you know, for the success that we've had. But it's when we have 10 first-team All-League players, it makes my job easier. If we didn't have 10 first-team All-League players, I'd probably be fired. You know, it's about players. And I've been really lucky to have those types of guys. And that's what we're trying to – it's a little bit different now in that we don't get a freshman that stays for 4 years like Shun or Kyle or those guys or Dom. We get guys that hopefully will be there for a couple of years. It's hard to recruit guys for 1 year. Our goal is to be able to get these sophomores and juniors that we have on the team now to be able to stay another year. Because that second year, our program will be better and they'll be better because of their understanding of right. our philosophy and mm-hmm. what we run and so forth. So that's in a nutshell, that's our recruiting. That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and you mentioned retention.
Retention
and,
is the
and
big.
That is a key for a mid-major Division I basketball
yeah.
team. Yeah,
and that's and with Woj, we're hoping that that helps with his contacts and our ability, his ability to get guys, you know, workouts with certain NBA players and getting looks because of the contacts that Woj has in the NBA or overseas. Plus, on top of that, having some money and having these kids enjoy their experience here for a year. That's what we're trying to do. And the retention is so important. I think, you know, hopefully we have a good year this year. But if we can retain most of our guys from this year to next year, then we'll be that much better. And that's the goal. And that's what we're trying to accomplish in this whole NIL portal era.
Let's talk a little bit about the preseason. You got everybody on campus late August, and practice started in September. Now, practice got moved a little bit back earlier because the season's starting earlier now, for one thing. But again, I think they probably set the date early because of all the changes. You're trying to – I mean,
yeah.
players with name tags on it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, like football players put the thing on their yeah. forehead. But, yeah, so the guys were here for – most of the guys were here for 8 to 10 weeks in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we work with them individually, you know, lifting weights and all that stuff and more of chemistry type mm-hmm. of stuff. And then they come back and we have our meeting the first day of school. And then we start, you can work 8 hours a week until 42 days before the first before the first game. You can have 30 practices within those 42 days. So we try to set it up. But, you know, I'm old. You're old too. But October 15th was like the gold standard.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
when practice started. You
yep.
had Midnight Madness. You had all that stuff. And now it's November. It's September 26th. Mm-hmm. And almost like as an old guy, you're like, damn, I wish it was October 15th. Give me 3 more weeks
yeah,
to work
summer.
With our
what
guys
yeah,
a little bit.
Summer.
Yeah,
what
you can play some golf.
Yeah.
But September, you know, as soon as school starts, you know, no more golf other than the coaches versus cancer.
Yeah.
And then it's just on. And then the 42 days before the first game, that's when we start practicing full bore. You have 20 hours a week. And it's different this year than in the past. Well, it's different the last 3 years because of the portal. It's almost like you're trying to teach the guys, and we do some in the summertime, about our terminology. Last year, everybody said that we had the oldest team in the country in terms of minutes
right.
at other schools. But as I told all the boosters and so forth, yeah, they may be old and most minutes someplace else, but they're freshmen and sophomores in our program. You know, so from my standpoint, it's frustrating in that, you know, when you have a veteran team, it's so much easier to coach them because they know, you know, the checks in, you know, all the different things that we do. Now we've really downgraded and reduce the playbook, and everything is so much slower,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's to me, it's not as much fun. But at the same time, you know, the portal, the recruiting, the NIL, it's stuff you need to do. But once you get your team, that's when the fun begins. That's when you try to mold them into a team, trying to get individual guys to play collectively. And that's what we try to do in practice and making sure that, you know, it's not me and I, it's we and us. And part of the recruiting is trying to bring in those types of guys that are team guys. But at the same time with the portal, everybody's looking for the, quote, the best situation for themselves.
Right.
So they can, you know, put up numbers so they can either get to another level, mm-hmm. and get more NIL or get to the league or overseas, right. get a better job. So we started practicing and some days it was good. Some days it was like, oh my God, did we practice yesterday? but I think it's, you know, it's a process and I'm not the most patient guy, but it's something that I have to really work at to understand that these guys, even though they're older guys, they're just in our program for a couple months and there's going to be growing pains.
When you get the team together and you work about 4 weeks into the season, and then you finally get the chance to go play somebody else.
Yeah.
You use the so-called secret scrimmage, which isn't that much of a secret anymore.
Yeah.
It's Kent State somewhere between here and Ohio.
Yep.
And then you get one game. The Alfred game has started to be a tradition with your sons involved and everything, but it is a dress rehearsal because it's just one more progressive step up to what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, we try to do it where we have like a brown-white scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And then we have the closed scrimmage against Kent State. Then we have the Alfred exhibition game. And they're all tests to find out where the kids are at. But then those are evaluation periods. And we're trying to see who separates from each other. We're trying to find out what combinations play best together. Because it's, you know, in this era, it's just hard to put a team together and know who's going to play best with whom in such a short period of time. So we're still trying to figure out, and we're, you know, this is the, you know, we just finished our second game against Canisius. We're still trying to figure out combinations, you know, end of the game, end of half, you know, we need a defensive stop. Who are those five guys that are going to work best in those situations? So it's an ongoing thing, and for us it's a good thing and a bad thing in that we don't have a lot of separation in terms of, you know, our top five guys and our next four or five guys. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to still be time for guys to change their roles, whereas, you know, if you look at, you know, the Iron Five, sure. you know, those guys, you knew those, there was a separation between those five guys and the other three or four guys. This year, we don't have that separation, which is a good thing, but it could be a bad thing too. Because you want, you know, five or six guys to blossom and be a different player than the other guys. But we'll see how that goes. But, you know, right now we're playing 10 guys, 11 guys, probably too many guys. But we're still trying to find out who deserves to play. And as I think as the season goes along, you know, some guys that aren't playing a lot right now may play a lot, may have a bigger role as, you know, in a month from now. Who knows?
Well, we saw that last year with Noel Brown.
Bingo.
He started off and was only getting like 10 minutes, 11 minutes, and all of a sudden he's at the end of the season, he's playing 20, 25 minutes at the center position because he had developed was playing.
Yes.
And that's you always say that you earn your time in the game at practice, and you're having some guys step up and practice now.
That's what I tell our team all the time. If you're not playing, show me you can play in practice. And you need to have the assistant coaches come into my office and say, Coach, man, you got to play this kid. He's playing really well. And you get so if you practice well, you get an opportunity in the game. But if you don't play well in the game, you get out, come out.
Yep.
So the opportunity to play is presented in practice. The opportunity to play more is presented in the game. And you got to earn the right. You got to earn the right to get on the court. Then you got to earn the right to stay on the court by how you play. And I tell the kids, if you're not playing, like I want to win. Like there's no more guy that wants to win than me. So I'm going to play the best guys. And so if you're not playing, that means you're not one of the best guys right now. But that could change in 2 or 3 weeks if you stop practicing better and playing. You know, we go against each other every day in practice, no mm-hmm. matter if it's, you know, the first 4 weeks of practice or in January and February. If you are going against this guy and you're dominating, you're playing well, then you're going to have that opportunity to get in the game and play.
All right. You've as you said, using 10, 11 guys the first two games. First game, Cal State Northridge, and we're seeing so far teams in similar situations. Second year coach, 10 new players.
Yep.
And he's trying to figure out his team. You're trying to figure out your team.
Yeah.
And what they found out was that they really like the run, but they're not too good in the set offense. So,
yeah.
So that's what we saw the first game.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to do. I think we have last year's team, I thought if there was a negative, even though we won 20 games and so forth, was we didn't have a lot of length, a lot of athleticism. Mm-hmm. Like our guards are small. Our three men was small. Our four men wasn't, you know, overly big. So we thought that we need to bring in more length, more athleticism. And so we did that. Now, the question is, can those guys shoot the ball? But I think in order for us to be successful, especially early in the season, we need to get the game going up and down. We need to get offense off of our defense. We need to get, you know, limit them to one shot, play better defense, and go. The half court is going to be a little bit disjointed. It's not going to be as smooth. So that's the goal right now, is to try to get this game going up and down. And then hopefully as the season goes along, our half-court game will become much more cohesive. But right now it isn't.
All right. Cal State Northridge, you look at the stats, 39 turnovers between the two teams.
Yeah.
A lot of yours were late after you had established a big lead.
Yeah.
But it was a good, solid first effort. For your team.
Yeah, I thought we did a good job of attacking the paint. I thought we got, you know, we forced them into 21 turnovers. We had a number of points off of turnovers, a number of fast break points. We shot 7 for 32 from threes, which is not good. But I thought our defense was decent. You know, we got to the foul line 34 times. I think they got to the foul line 12, I believe. You know, we shot 23 for 34, which wasn't great. But our game right now, our game is attacking, trying to get into the paint and making things happen. And I thought, even though we shot 7 for 32, I thought defensively we did a decent job. We out-rebounded by 5. We did these things that we needed to do. I thought we did a good job. You know, they made 6 threes, and that's our goal, 6 or less threes. So I thought our defense, our offense wasn't great, but I thought our defense and our rebounding was very good. And you alluded to where, you know, we turned the ball over. We had 18 turnovers, but we had like 5 or 6 of them at the end. But that's something we have to get better at. But it's so it, like in practice, you only have so many hours to do that. And you got all this stuff you're trying to put in. And, you know, and I just thought that, you know, we could, you know, break open, get the ball in. But mm-hmm. we couldn't do that.
All right. So 1-0. And now you start a 2-game road trip. The first game was Saturday. Taking on Canisius, and as we said, traditional rivalry, 172 yeah. games over 105 years, and it's again just a game where you see the alums come out for this game.
It's interesting, like the Atlantic 10, VCU and Dayton, all the young people,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, you got to beat VCU and Dayton and St. Louis and Richmond. It's like Canisius, Niagara, it's like forgotten. But for the older alums, forget about VCU and Dayton. It is Canisius, Niagara. That's all that matters.
I remember one. I think we were standing together, and one of the older alums came up and said, "I don't care if you go 1-30.
Yes,
you've got to beat.
You got to beat Canisius." Yeah, that's the mentality. And we had lost them 2 years in a row. You know, we reminded the kids of that, and it's always a rivalry. And playing down in the Kessler Center, it's tough. We had a ton of alums, half the arena at least were Bonaventure, you know, and credit to them, and I appreciate them coming out. And Coach Christian, it's a new team, you know, so he's putting his whole, you know, stamp on it. But they run really good stuff, and they have 5 men that can shoot the ball. And that's the problem. And we talk about Florida Gulf Coast, that we have the same, you know, it's going to be the same concerns too. But I thought we played better against Canisius than we did against Cal State Northridge. We out rebounded by double digits. We had more points in the paint, you know, I think 48 to 20, more points off turnovers. more, you know, second chance opportunities. We only had eight turnovers. So we fixed some of the stuff that hurt us against Kent State and Alfred and in Cal State Northridge, but then we couldn't stop 34, right? You know, and they made 14 threes. And I, you know, watching the tape yesterday, probably four of them were at the end of the shot clock,
yeah,
where we were right there.
Yeah.
And then there was probably five where we contested, but then there was five where we broke down. Like, you know, basketball one-on-one, you never help from ball side corner. And we did that twice. And we work on it all the time. And, you know, and like in the, when you get into the game, it's like they lose their minds. And, you know, we watch tape and they're shaking. They're like, yeah, coach, you don't even have to tell me. I helped mm-hmm. on ball side corner. And then we got hurt in the ball screen. They had a 5-man that can shoot and we didn't have good rotations. So there's stuff that we can work on. We weren't good in, like I said, you know, keeping the ball in front of us, ball screen defense. But those are the things, and it's good to work with that after a win. You know, you never, you know, it's terrible to work with that after you lose. You know, so you can get on the guys and, you know, and I think we have guys that want to learn, that understand their mistakes and want to get better. And we need to get better. We're nowhere near where we need to be in order for us to be successful this year.
Yeah, watching the game, it looked like the set plays ran smoother.
Yeah, we got better.
Yeah.
Like the set plays, we took a step in the right direction. I thought Noel played well inside. You know, Chance had a terrific game. Mm-hmm. You know, we went 20 for 24 from the foul line. You know, we didn't, you know, shot 83%. We shot 68 against Northridge. We didn't shoot the ball well from threes. We made five. But I thought we were more cohesive. We played more together, even though we broke down defensively and we gave up 14 threes. But even usually when you give up 14 threes, you're going to lose. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But we gave up 14 threes, but you know, we won by, you know, 9 or 10 or whatever the score was.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks a lot for the time, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks on the Coach Mark Schmidt Show.